Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And do you know where the fish you eat comes from? Do you know what kind of fish it is? Well, the truth is you might not, and here's why.
Even though the U.S. controls more ocean than any other country and catches millions of tons of fish every year, a lot of it right here in New England, we export almost a third of it, and we import almost 90% of what we consume. 90% of our fish comes from abroad.
Which raises big questions about the origins of all that fish and big opportunities to mislead consumers. A couple of years ago, a Boston Globe investigation found that 3/4 of seafood samples from dozens of local restaurants and markets were mislabeled. Illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing and seafood fraud is a huge problem. So just recently, at the International Seafood Show in Boston, the Obama administration introduced a new plan to combat it.
At the heart of the strategy is an effort to track fish and shellfish from where they're caught to where they're sent. The aim is to protect fisheries and the seafood market and to help consumers know what they're eating.
And joining us now to talk about these measures and the challenge of illegal fishing is Paul Greenberg. He's a James Beard Award-winning writer, a Pew Fellow in Marine Conservation, and the author of several books, including his most recent, American Catch, The Fight for Our Local Seafood, which came out last year. And Paul Greenberg, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's really good to have you back.
Hey, thanks, Anthony. Great to be back.
Good. And I want to invite listeners into this conversation. We want to hear from you. Do you know where your fish comes from? Do you work in the local fishing industry? If so, what's your take on how to thwart black market seafood and seafood fraud? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Paul, I'd like to start with you and just get you to kind of help explain the problem that the feds are trying to tackle here, this huge black market in fish, the challenge of IUU, which stands for illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. What's going on out there that makes this such a big problem, a big challenge to combat?
Well, you know, as you said at the top of the segment, around 90% of the seafood that we eat is imported. And of that, of the wild fish that we import, about 32% of that is coming to us through illegal fishing or IUU fishing. And so it represents a very large part of the market. And why this is a problem is when you catch fish outside of any kind of legal management regime, you're basically jeopardizing the whole system. You're taking stuff out of the system that isn't being accounted for. And therefore, once that's being deducted, you can't really make a prediction as to what a sustainable harvest would be. So it's really critical to get that equation right.
So this isn't just about trying to understand where this fish comes from, what it is. We're really talking about the health of the world's fisheries, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, what's ironic is that the United States has, over the last 20 years, become a very good manager of fish, and we've gotten better and better at it ever since something called the Sustainable Fisheries Act was passed in 1996. And so generally speaking, if you're eating an American fish, it is probably a sustainably caught or grown fish. The problem is that since so much of the fish that we eat is imported, we're sort of outsourcing our bad behavior to other countries. It's expensive to harvest fish sustainably, and so brokers, importers, and so forth who would like to kind of cut costs, if they can make a side deal with an exporter who isn't going through legal channels, that's going to end up cheaper for the consumer, but worse for the planet.
And this figure, which, by the way, I learned from you the last time I talked to you about your book, this thing that 90% of the fish we eat here in the U.S. is imported, which seems wacky in a country that pulls so many fish out of the ocean. But there it is. We're importing 90% of our fish. What do we know about that fish? What do we actually know for sure about where that fish comes from and what it is?
Well, not always a whole lot. If it's American, we tend to have a pretty good idea where it came from. But since it is imported, here's a tricky thing. Yes, 90% of the seafood that we eat is imported, but a certain percentage, and again, we don't know the percentage, a certain percentage of, say, the Alaska salmon that we eat, the California squid that we eat, is caught here in America, frozen at sea, sent to China or to Thailand or to Vietnam, defrosted, filleted and cleaned, refrozen, and sent back to us double frozen. So in the process of that, you could see how there's endless opportunity for bait and switching.
Sure. Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about this proposal from the Presidential Task Force. There are 15 measures in this plan. I don't want to get bogged down too much, but as we understand,
it's quite a document.
Yeah, at the heart of it is a plan to track fish and shellfish from where they come from to where they're sent. Do you have a sense of how that would work?
Well, you know, in the document, it's kind of put out there as a work in progress, and we're going to use the next year, it seems, to figure out how to do this. But what I can say is that there are a couple of interesting and effective traceability schemes already out there. There is, for example, something called Gulf Wild in the Gulf of Mexico, and it was started because originally people were worried that they were getting Gulf seafood from areas that had been tainted by the BP Horizon spill. Hmm. Well, after concerns about that started to kind of lapse, it started to become a seafood fraud thing where many Gulf fishermen were realizing that their really valuable and delicious red snapper was often being swapped out for other things. So what Gulf Wild does is that every time a fish is caught, a GPS number is affixed to a tag, which is then stapled to the gill of the fish so that you can actually see exactly where that fish was caught and which fisherman caught that. Now, can you scale that up to, you know, as the government is saying, to a national level or an international level with so many millions of tons of seafood going back and forth? I don't know. But technology is getting better. And, you know, maybe it can close some loopholes.
Listeners, we're talking about where your fish comes from and what the government is trying to do to figure that out and to end fish fraud, illegal fishing around the world. What do you think of this? What questions do you have? We've got a couple of people here, including Paul Greenberg, and in a moment, Senator Ed Markey, who's been paying a lot of attention to this issue. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. And let me introduce Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey into the conversation. He spent a lot of time looking at seafood fraud in Massachusetts and across the country. And, Senator, good to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Thank you for having this important conversation.
Yeah, well, I'd love to hear from you why it's so important. You were among those who pushed for measures to tackle fish fraud. First of all, are you happy with the results, with what the Obama administration is proposing here?
Yes, I'm very happy with these recommendations, and I'm going to be working to make them even stronger through legislation. But if we follow these recommendations, we will be helping our fishing cops to police the foreign fish fraudsters and the seafood swindlers who put a drag on our fishermen's bottom lines and endanger our health. And I'm glad that the Obama administration is upping the pressure on those in the global seafood industry who cheat customers and fishermen alike. And I think that these recommendations identify areas where new authority would allow our cops to do more, including supporting efforts to trace seafood from bait to your plate, and the task force recommendations are an important step.
It seems,
and I look forward to working with the Obama administration as they go forward.
I want to ask you what you want to do in terms of legislation, but first let me just sort of ask you about the scope of the problem, because it seems so daunting, because it's clearly an international problem. I mean, where learning where the fish that we eat where it comes from, what kind of fish it is, how do we involve the whole world in this?
Well, you put your finger right on it. It's important to recognize that this is a global problem. Mm. For example, there isn't American tuna or European tuna or African tuna. There is Atlantic tuna. And what happens in the Atlantic beyond any country's control can impact fishermen in every country. And because the ocean is so vast, from the land, it's hard to contemplate its limits and how illegal fishing in distant waters might impact America. But like dropping a pebble in a pond, the ripple effects of illegal fishing expand to our shores. And as a result, we have to focus on these issues and make sure that there is an international cooperation to enforce the laws. And we have to start somewhere. And I think this is a good first step.
Mm. Now, I understand that you're contemplating, I think, if not already pushing for legislation to bolster these efforts. What do you want to do more to push for these efforts?
Well, my original legislation, I called it the Safe Seafood Act, addressed these recommendations. It said that the agencies should work together and work together better, that we should track fish from the boat to the plate using information that's already tracked by fishermen to better inform consumers. Now that the administration has acted and covered a lot of the ground that was in my legislation, I'm going to go back and see how a new version of my legislation could help protect American fishermen and consumers, just fill in the gaps, and just to make sure as well that there's better coordination between NOAA, the FDA, Customs, and Border Patrol, because it's going to take, I think, ongoing efforts to keep a focus on this issue to make sure that we are making measurable progress.
Right. One more question, Senator, before I let you go. President Obama has been commended by some for this, but in the past he's also been criticized for having cut the number of special agents who investigate seafood fraud in recent years. So does it feel like we're sort of moving in two different directions here? I mean, on the one hand, cutting, on the other hand, coming forward with this this plan to track fish.
Well, I think the key is collaboration, and collaboration is systemic to the proposed action plan, which the administration announced, just as my Safe Seafood Act would have been. Okay? Part of the motivation for me introducing the Safe Seafood Act was to get each of the agencies to work together in a more coordinated fashion to tackle this issue, and with the creation of the task force, the administration's moving in that direction, and because their missions differ, agencies aren't looking at seafood fraud comprehensively. And now I think they will. And because of that, we're going to wind up with more enforcement than we've ever had in the past. And the key is that it will be a team effort across all agencies, now finally partnering to make sure that there's some real teeth in the enforcement. And that at each agency there are designated people who will have the capacity to be able to make sure that there is an apprehension on the part of those who are committing these crimes, that there's a much higher likelihood that they will be apprehended.
All right.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, please do, Paul.
Senator and Anthony, I was noticing as I was going through the document that one of the agencies that she shows up several times in the document is the Department of Homeland Security. And I sometimes wonder, I mean, just as a citizen, I know that NOAA is chronically underfunded. The National Marine Fisheries Service is chronically underfunded. By bringing in these big agencies like Homeland Security, which doesn't seem to have a funding problem, at least until there are any kind of sequesters going on. But it seems to me we're kind of trying to get some funding from these places that don't traditionally get involved with fish.
Interesting. Yeah. What do you think, Senator?
Well, again, Customs and Border Patrol has a very important role to play. Mm-hmm. They're there. They have enforcement power. They have a great capacity to identify fraud in its earliest stages, and they also have a capacity to deter, because increasingly those who are perpetrating these crimes will know that there are more cops on the beat who will be patrolling and partnering with NOAA, partnering with the FDA. And I think that's a key ingredient here, because Homeland Security includes protecting us against criminals in all of its form, and that clearly is something that has been occurring, hasn't been deterred, and I actually think the additional professionalism from the Department of Homeland Security helps other agencies that haven't traditionally had that kind of a focus. So on the one hand, policing is their specialty, their expertise. Seafood is not their expertise, but it is the expertise of NOAA.
All right, so it's a good
partner. Yeah. And you have a much higher likelihood of being successful.
So a good collaboration there. Senator, I know we have to let you go, so we'll say thank you for your time today. That's U.S. Senator Edward Markey. Thank you, Senator. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Paul, stand by. I want to just invite our listeners into this. We want to hear from you. Do you know where your fish comes from? And let us know what you think of this effort to track seafood fraud around the world. 1-800-423-8255. And let me introduce another guest into this conversation, Andrew Nagel. He's an inventory manager at the John Nagel Company, a seafood wholesaler and distributor in Boston. And Andrew, welcome to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering how these recommendations affect you working in Boston. Boston and receiving and shipping out seafood. What do you think of them?
Well, we do a lot of business, both domestic and imports. We export a little bit as well. And we already have FDA clearance on anything coming into the country. We have reports to NOAA, ICAT, any other government agency that has required these from us. We've been willing to comply with them. One of the things that is a growing concern in the seafood industry, especially with this, is how much of this is going to be put on us as individual companies.
Mm. You're saying how much of this is going to be put on you, you're talking about, are you going to bear the cost of this?
Exactly. Yeah. Are we going to have to hire another employee or two just to deal with bureaucracy or be able to deal with conversing with the government on a regular basis? We already have one or two of those. We also have people filing trace registries for customers that require those sorts of things.
But before, I mean, I'm interested to hear that, but I want to, you know, as someone who is in this business, do you see the problem of international fish fraud as a big concern? Does it affect your business?
International fraud is a large concern. I think that seafood is bearing the brunt of it. We're an easy target. We don't speak out for the most part. We're kind of easy to downplay. Seafood is still scary to a lot of Americans. It's seen as dirty or unsanitary, even diseased, and we don't really fund enough into speaking out and having our own voice.
Yeah.
So we have things like the Boston Fisheries Foundation that just started. They're throwing a seafood festival on August 2nd down the Fish Pier, and we get talked about all the time. We have a lot of non-government organizations, but for the most part, we don't get to speak our part.
Hmm. Paul Greenberg, what do you think? I mean, listening to Andrew there talking about concern about having to take on the cost of these efforts, what do you think? Is that a valid concern?
Certainly, the industry has time and again had to bear the cost of additional regulation. And I know I just did a story about California fisheries reforms where, you know, onboard observers are now required in a lot of the fisheries out there. And it's surprise the fishermen who actually have to pay for the cost of those observers. Mm-hmm. So I could certainly see that being a really legitimate issue. But I do think that there's something here that could potentially lift all boats, which is that most Americans kind of perceive fish as just fish. It's just this sort of shapeless product that they don't really care where it comes from. Here in the United States, we've put a tremendous amount of financial energy and just human energy into making our fisheries sustainable. I believe that we currently do not have enough product differentiation out there to highlight that. And I think if there is a way for us to buoy up the quality of American fisheries management and show that and have that reflected in the identity of the product as it appears to the consumer on his or her plate, I think that would be a good thing for the American seafood industry.
Mm. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the American seafood industry is pretty much we're ideal compared to a lot of the world seafood industries, and we report almost everything we catch. And if it's not reported, it's mostly it just slipped through the gaps at one point. We are constantly working on managing our fisheries. And I think that one of the biggest problems is educating the public on the health benefits of seafood. Heart failure is one of the – it is the number one cause of death with men and women in the United States. The omega-3s, omega-6s, and all of the other – the lean protein in seafood – well, fish particularly. Those all alleviate those symptoms. They help with heart conditions. They help brain
no,
tissue.
It's a wonderful food full of health benefits. And, Paul, one of the things – you know, listening to Andrew, I'm reminded of one of the things you wrote about so interestingly in your book, and that is all this fish that we export – we export a lot of the most healthful fish because generally as Americans we don't like fish that tastes so fishy, and they tend to be the most the most healthy fish, full of those omega-3s and all that.
We do, and you know, I think of a lot of times there's a fish out west called the black cod or sable fish. Jewish homes are familiar to it, you know, smoked on a bagel. But other than that, most of the black cod caught in this country gets exported. A lot, I think 80% of the salmon that we catch in this country gets exported. So I do think there's a very strong argument for trying to keep more of that, you know, locally caught fish here in the United States. Meanwhile, the major things that we are importing, shrimp, tilapia, and the Pangasius catfish, which a lot of people don't know, but it's the sixth most consumed seafood in America. Those three seafood items don't really contain appreciable amounts of omega-3s.
Hmm. Paul, if you had been on that federal task force, I mean, you've really been great in explaining the problem and how these recommendations might be carried out. But what would you have added? What would your plan have also included to deal with this challenge?
I would have closed – this is pretty radical, but I would have closed the high seas to fishing. And by the high seas, I mean in the world right now, most nations control their oceans out to 200 nautical miles. It's what's called an exclusive economic zone, or EEZ. In between EEZs, there's this vast space of ocean that is owned by nobody. I think that we have not proven ourselves capable as a species of managing – that territory that's outside of national jurisdiction. And until we do, I would like to see that huge swath of ocean, I'd like to see it just shut down.
Hmm. Andrew Nagel, I'll give the last word to you. What about you? If you'd been on that commission, what would you like, as someone who works in the seafood industry, what would you like to have seen?
I would have liked to see more effort go into making the regulations we already have in place work better. I would like to see our federal government try to work with the other governments and not pass the burden onto anyone in the United States seafood industry, because we seem to end up bearing a little bit more than we should.
All right. Well, that's Andrew Nagel. He's a seafood sales and purchasing associate at the John Nagel Company. That's a wholesaler and distributor of seafood here in Boston. Andrew, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Paul Greenberg, author of American Catch, The Fight for Our Local Seafood, and also For Fish, The Future of the Last Wild Food. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. We're very grateful.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Anthony. Thank you.
And thanks as well to Senator Edward Markey. And listeners, stay with us. Coming up, the scourge of so-called revenge porn and what tech companies and lawyers are doing about it. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.